We'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone to our service on this Mothering Sunday. Mothering Sunday is an opportunity to honour mums and grannies and aunties and those who've been a mother figure in our lives. But it's also a day when we recognise the pain of those who haven't had that opportunity and those who've lost their mums and indeed lost children in recent times. So it's a Sunday of complexity, and there's a lot of joy and pain all held together, but we're glad to be able to come together to worship on this day. We're especially delighted this morning to welcome Bishop David in our midst. He's very welcome indeed. It's good to see you. And Bishop David, this is his first time when he's been able to come on a normal Sunday with all the COVID situation, but he'll be back on two wheels on the Bishop's big bike ride on Monday week, on the 5th of April, and he'll be arriving here about 25 past two, I think, on that day. But we're really delighted to have you with us, and welcome to Hilary as well. It's lovely to have you with us this morning. You'll have seen the notices on the slide as you come in this morning. Just want to highlight one or two events that don't happen every week. Wednesday afternoon, our bowlers are meeting at 2 o'clock in the church hall. And our midweek Lenten services are continuing on Thursday evening at 7:30 as we continue that series on discipleship. And Andy will be leading our thoughts. Just wanted to mention also an update on the situation with regards to the Ukraine appeal. And thank you so much to everybody who's responded so generously to the Bishop's Appeal collection. And between the donations from parishioners and the donation from the select vestry, Robert, our treasurer, has sent away £6,175 during the week. So that appeal is now closed, but we are hoping to open a Ukraine account within our parish accounts to help to welcome a family to this area, to rent a house, and we're hoping also that the parish will be a conduit for crockery and cutlery and bedding and clothes for other households within the parish who might be welcoming individuals and families in the coming weeks and months. And there'll be more about that in the rector's blog on Tuesday, which should be on the parish Facebook page and on the website. But as we come together to worship, we're going to stand together to sing our opening hymn, Come Down, O Love Divine.
Thank you.
Our service today is the service of morning prayer. Beloved in Christ, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our psalm for this morning is a psalm that speaks about the centrality of the Lord in all things and the blessings of children in our lives. We're going to stand and say together the words of Psalm 127. Unless the Lord
builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord keeps the city, the guard keeps watch in vain. It is in vain that you hasten to rise up early and go so late to rest, eating the bread of toil, for he gives his beloved sleep. Children are a heritage from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his gift. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy are those who have their quiver full of them. They shall not be put to shame when they dispute with their enemies in the gate.
And if you'd like to be seated for our Old Testament reading.
Our Old Testament reading comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 2, starting at verse 1. Now a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. When then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank, she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her slave girl to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. And the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, I drew him out of the water. This is the word of the Lord.
We're going to respond to our reading as we stand to sing together the hymn, Tell Out My Soul. If you'd like to be seated for our second reading.
Our New Testament reading is found in Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 3, starting at verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord.
Going to invite us now to take a look at a little video in a moment, and as many will be aware of the banner we have on the front of the church with the little Try Praying booklets. Recently, one of our neighbors contacted me because the container for the booklets had been vandalized, and she had been able to read one and pass one on to a neighbor, and we're encouraging people that it's a great little booklet to share with our neighbors and friends. So let's take a look at this little video, which here is about the power of the book.
Yes, so I picked up the Triprime booklet. I took it home and I had a read of it, and it really only covered a week. So I thought, well, why not? I'll just give it a go and start off with day one and see what happens. So I just started and I read day one. And then at the end of each day, there's a little activity to do. And the activity for day one said, every time you pick up your phone, say, God, I want to communicate with you. So I started doing that, picked up my phone. And every time I did it, I would say, God, I want to speak to you. And then the phone started ringing one day. And it was my daughter. It's not strange for my daughter to phone me, but when she phoned me this day, she said, I'm just phoning you to find out how you are. And I thought, well, I know I talk to you a lot, but you never really phoned me just to ask me that. And that was a little bit strange. And yeah, it amused me a bit to think that she was just phoning to ask that when I'd been praying and actually saying, God, I want to speak to you. Another one of the activities was to pick up a stone from the garden. So I went outside and I got a stone. In fact, I've still got the stone. And it said that the stone was a sign of God being permanent in your life. So I thought, well, that's nice. So I've kept the stone to remind me of that. So I kept going on with the activities and reading every day, because it's just a little bit to read. And then days five or six, it said about going to the door, opening the door, and asking Jesus into your life. Well, it seemed a bit silly at first, because I thought, somebody sees me when I open the door and start saying this. But I thought, well, I'm going to do it. So I went to the back door and I opened it and I asked Jesus to come into my life. And it was amazing. Something changed. Just an overwhelming feeling of joy came into my life. And then I closed the door and it was like I floated back into the room and I knew something had changed. I felt really different. It was just wonderful. Would I recommend the booklet or the Triprime app to anybody else? Absolutely. It's such a simple booklet and it's so easy to follow and it's totally changed my life.
So since we've had the booklets outside the gate of the church, over 200 have been picked up by people as they walk along the carriageway. And we do encourage people, if you'd like to take one or to pass one on to a friend or neighbor, they're a really powerful little booklet. Let's stand together to affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray. Our special prayer for today, Mothering Sunday. God of compassion, whose Son, Jesus Christ, the child of Mary, shared the life of a home in Nazareth, and on the cross drew the whole human family to himself. Strengthen us in our daily living, that in joy and in sorrow we may know the power of your presence to bind together and to heal. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go before us, Lord, in all our doings, with your most gracious favor, and further us with your continual help, that in all our works, begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name, and finally, by your mercy, attain everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing again the hymn, Lord of the Home.
Teach me, Lord, that I may teach the precious words that you impart, and take those words that they would reach the hidden depths of all our hearts. So, Lord, open our hearts to your word, open our lives to your grace, and be pleased to pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Please take your seats. I'm so very pleased to be with you here this morning. It's a real joy, and you did manage to bring the sunshine out as well, so it's really good to be with you this morning. I am trying now that we're moving forward in this season to get to as many churches as possible that I haven't been in yet on Sunday, so it's great to be with you this morning. A couple of little practical things that I want to do first. I want to thank you, Jono, for your leadership along with Andy during this past season, this long season. Thank you for your pastoral care of your people, for your teaching and preaching, and for all of your ministry. Big thank you, too, to the Select Vestry and other office bearers in the parish who have carried all of us in our churches through this season. And as we know, it's Mothering Sunday, I want to turn for a little while to our Old Testament reading. And it's a reading with much to say to the church, I reckon, in our world today and in the context in which we find ourselves today. A little baby boy is born. His mother is an Israelite girl who, along with the rest of her nation, are living in fear of a tyrant. We can actually immediately align ourselves to that. Her little family are living as slaves in Egypt. The ruler, the Pharaoh of the day, is brutal in how he's treating the children of Israel. Moses is born. It's dark, dark days. This little boy is born into a world of slavery and despair and cruelty and want and need. His people, his parents, are used to a whip, a people who suffer oppression, hatred, abuse, and malignment. In today's world, across our world, in many nations, not just in the Ukraine, but in many, many other nations, children, little babies, continue to be born into our world, continue to be born into nations of oppression, nations where there's fear and where there's abuse and where there's death, nations where tyranny is real in our world. And into such a world, children are born. And into such a world, mothers do what mothers do. They love their children. We think, for example, this morning of the situation in Afghanistan, where girls in particular will face a really unkind and unhelpful future. Children born, as we know, daily in the Ukraine, sisters and brothers maybe for older children that are fleeing now the nation that is their homeland. The plight of many in places too, like South Sudan, the Horn of Africa, in Asia. We live in a world where there's so, so much by way of tyranny and oppression. I was on a Zoom meeting the other day, and somebody else had been on a similar meeting earlier that day, and he'd been joined. He worked with an agency, a relief agency, and he'd been joined by a young woman who has escaped from the Ukraine, and she was thanking people for their provision and for their care and for their prayers. But she ended with this word. She says, as you give for the Ukraine, as you give to us, please don't forget the rest of the world where there's still oppression. I thought that was such an incredibly generous statement from someone who's in the heart of what is pretty awful. Exodus chapter 2, our reading today, begins with a wedding, a marriage, and then a baby is conceived, and a family committed to a life of faith. The father is a Levite, and mum and dad are a couple who are full of courage, it's very clear, and a couple who are full of faith. And this little baby is born. We read in verses 1 and 2, now a man from the house of Levi went and took as his wife a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. For 3 months, their faith enabled them to keep this little baby boy hidden and safe. But how do you hide a baby? Think about it. Trying to hide a little baby when it cries, when it yells, when it makes all the demands that a baby makes. We've got one living in our house at the moment with my daughter and her husband. And you know, when a baby cries, they make a lot of noise. Think of just the pressure and the courage and the faith that this young couple needed. This father and this mother, they feared God more than they feared the king or the Pharaoh of Egypt. We read of them actually later in the book of Hebrews, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. This little family already have 2 older children. There's a brother for the baby. There's Aaron, probably about 3, probably aged about 3, and Miriam, who's probably about to enter into her teenage years. And for this family, there's now this little baby who's 3 months old, and the secret couldn't be kept any longer. Something had to happen. Can you imagine the trauma in that home, and the trauma in many mums' hearts this morning, and dads' hearts too this morning across our world? We read, when she could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes, and she daubed it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the riverbank. And his sister stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. What a woman of faith is this mum, Moses' mother, Moses' birth mum, Jochebed. She nurtures him and she protects him for 3 months. She holds on to him for 3 months, believing and relying on and trusting the promises of God, that God would be faithful. No doubt she knew the history of her nation, the history of her people, that God had promised that they would become as numerous as the stars of the sky. That was actually the problem, because Herod, rather Pharaoh, was full of bitterness, full of anger, full of fear as well, that somehow this slave nation would overpower them and would become stronger than them. There's fear, there's jealousy, there's political intrigue, all part of this story. So similar to so many situations in our world today. First, the fear led to the children of Israel becoming slaves in Egypt. But Pharaoh's paranoia and Pharaoh's fear sort of grows and becomes greater. And so he issues a royal command, a royal decree, that when baby boys are being born, they're to be murdered, quite literally, as they emerge from the womb by the midwives. But again, we see in these Hebrew midwives, women of faith, women of incredible courage and guts and boldness. They're more afraid of God than they are of Pharaoh. And so they refuse, putting their own lives at risk, no doubt. They refuse to obey his edict. And the result of that is that Pharaoh commanded his soldiers to search out and to find baby boys and to have them smothered and put to death. Jochebed, Moses' mother, had no doubt heard the cries of little Hebrew babies as they were being slaughtered. She probably couldn't bear to watch or wait as she puts her little son into that basket and leaves him at the side of the River Nile. Miriam, his older sister, is positioned to keep watch and to see what will happen. In a sense, she becomes a parental figure, even though she's only a young girl. And again, Miriam displays courage. And Miriam displays faith. She won't always do that. She begins better, actually, Miriam, than she finishes. But there's a one. This is just a story of woman after woman who are full of faith and full of courage. We read in verse 4, his sister stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. Or verse 7, then her sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew woman to nurse the child for you? So far, we've met Jochebed, Moses' mother. We've met Miriam. We've been briefly introduced to the midwives. A little bit more here about the midwives. We read it earlier in chapter 1 when you serve as midwives to the Hebrew woman and see them at the birth stool. The Pharaoh said, if it is a son, you shall kill him, but if it is a daughter, she shall live. But the midwives feared God. The midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but let the male children live. There's a challenge here that's deep and that's real for the church today, that we would be a church that fear God more than we fear men. That we would be followers of Christ who fear God above all else. That we would be people who love God most and who love God best. It continues in verses 19 of chapter 1. The midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian woman, for they are vigorous and give birth before the midwife comes to them. So God dealt well with the midwives. And the people multiplied and grew very strong. His mother's a godly woman. Miriam's a godly girl. There's these godly, courageous, full of faith midwives. And in our days, the nation of the world and our nation need women and men of faith. Let's ask that God in these days would strengthen your faith and mine. That we would be people of courage, people of integrity, people of boldness, people of wisdom, people who put Christ first and put him center. There's lots of practical ways that we need to live this out. We do live our faith out by being pious as well, and by our worship, and by our prayer lives. Those things are so important because they resource us. But we need to be practical Christians as well. So let me mention just a couple of practical things as we move through here. We live in a province, you may not be aware of this, where social services are crying out for foster parents, for women and men, for couples, for single people, for widows, for widowers, for any who feel that they might have sufficient love and space and time to give to be able to foster children in our province today, in our city today. There's a dearth and an incredible need. So I just throw that out. And there's a Christian organization called Home for Good. You can Google it, Home for Good, who will help with that and point you in the right direction. But also, you may not feel called or able to do that, but actually you can support those who are fostering or adopting or parenting children of their own. Parents need so much by way of support in today's world. Let's galvanize that in our churches to support those who are parenting and who are providing for and loving and caring for our children. This story introduces us to some very ordinary women. Very ordinary women. But they're women of faith and they're women of courage, and that makes them extraordinary in terms of how they're able to live for God. These two midwives, Shipra and Pura, whose names go down in Scripture because of their heroic work. Moses' mother, Jochebed, who loved her baby for 3 months, even when he was crying, kept him safe. And there's Miriam, Moses' sister, that youthful girl who's full of clever resources. Wasn't she smart the way that she goes, will I go and find a nurse for him? Will I provide for him and help you out in that way? She says to the royal daughter of Pharaoh, I actually wonder if Pharaoh's daughter knew all along what was happening here. Verse 5, now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river. While her young woman walked beside the river, she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servant woman, and she took it. Seeing the basket among the reeds, she sent her slave girl to bring the basket to her, and she sees in the basket a beautiful Hebrew baby boy. I wonder, did she love him in that moment? She does bring him up as her own. She does adopt him and bring him into the royal family and brings him up actually as her own child, her own son. This daughter of the palace couldn't save all the Hebrew babies, but she could save this one. She could save this one. And she does. I really do wonder, did she know that Miriam was the sister right along? Did she know? I think she probably did. And as you read on through the chapters that follow, there's hints that she knew right along, actually, or certainly discovered that this Hebrew nurse was indeed the mother of the little baby that she names Moses. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew woman to nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the girl went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. When the child grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses because she said, "I drew him out of the water." Two, actually, incredible women in this story. There's Moses' mother, Jochebed, and now there's this woman who adopts him and makes him her son. There's a slave girl and there's a princess. And they both demonstrate to us something that's beautiful about motherhood on this Mothering Sunday. And it's the gift of courage and it's the gift of faith. This is a Sunday where we really ought to, in a very significant way, honor mothers. Mothers who are mothers of children that they've given birth to themselves. Mothers who provide a safe family environment for children that they perhaps didn't give birth to, but that they're fostering or have adopted. What about those children who are being raised by one parent? Maybe a dad who actually finds Mother's Day a really harsh day and a difficult day because the mother of his daughter or son has been taken from him through death or sickness or disease, and he's there on his own on Mother's Day. Spare a thought for dads who are bringing up children on their own on Mother's Day. Spare a thought and a prayer for children who need adoptive parents. Come alongside parents who have adopted children and who have the particular challenges that come with that. And then, of course, there's the refugee children in today's world. I am so, so pleased to hear of what you're doing. I'm actually so proud of you, to be honest, that you're taking that lead. And I know you're maybe thinking, well, it's only one family. It was only one child in this story. Who knows where that might grow and what it might become and how it might multiply. Get behind this initiative. Please do. And see where it goes and see how it might develop. Also do remember that parents need your help. Whether you're 99 or 19, parents today need our encouragement. And as we move from today, and tomorrow Mother's Day is behind us with all the sort of emotion and memories and challenge and invitation of this day. Let's ask God to ensure and to help us to be women and men of faith. Because this little baby who was Moses would rescue the nation of Israel. And the nation of Israel, in being rescued, would provide a savior for the world, for the Jews and for the Gentiles, which is why we're here this morning, which is why we're worshiping God this morning. Because he went to a cross, and on a cross he paid the price, and he took our sin upon himself, and he died in our place, and he became sin for us, so that when we turn to him and believe in him and receive him into our lives, we'd be saved and we'd be forgiven and we'd be made his adopted children. And then he rose from the grave, defeating death, offering us the gift of life that's abundant and life that's eternal. That's the outcome of this little baby that was kept safe for 3 months, rescued by the daughter of a tyrant who allowed her own heart to be transformed. There's even hope in the midst of where there's awful things happening. Let's seek to be women and men of faith, real faith, faith that's rooted in the cross of Christ, because we know we've trusted in the death of God's Son and been forgiven and made new by Christ. Faith that's rooted in an empty tomb, in a God who has defeated death and given us the gift of heaven and eternal life. On this Mothering Sunday, mothers are heroes. I really think that mothers are special people. Women are heroes, and I don't want that to sound condescending coming from an elderly gentleman, not so gentle sometimes. But thank you for all that you give. Thank you, women, for all that you give. Little story to inspire us as we finish. True story. A lady called Gloria Kwashi, she's a Nigerian mother who's brought up her own children. And because of the incredible challenges in that nation, has adopted 72 others. She's the wife of an archbishop, so she's got a big house in order to make space for them. She's adopted 72 others that are currently living under her roof. In addition to that, she's fostered 300 others that she sort of oversees the care of and makes sure are provided for. I'm not suggesting, maybe someone will, but I'm not suggesting that anyone here should actually attempt to adopt 72 children or to foster 300. But let's do what we can. Let's do all that we can, because we're women and men of faith. I love the little story, it's a children's story, of a hen and a little bantam chick and a goose that were having a conversation. And the goose had laid an enormous egg and was quite boastful. The hen had laid a hen-sized egg and was quite smug. And the bantam had laid a tiny little egg and was sort of being looked down on and laughed by the other two. And she simply said, well, I did what I could. I did what I could. Let's be those who, because God imparts to us faith, calls us to faith, fills us with courage, be women and men who, in our day, with all the challenges that seem to come in every different and other direction, be those who, under God and for God and in God, for Christ, in Christ, and to the glory of Jesus Christ, do what what we can. Let us pray. Lord, thank you so much for the gift of faith. Increase in us, we pray, that gift. Fill us with a deeper, deeper love for Jesus Christ, with a deeper awareness of all that was done for us on the cross, a deeper appreciation of the empty tomb and the abundant life that is ours. And make us bold and make us courageous to courageously and boldly live for Christ. And Lord, to give of ourselves to Christ and give of ourselves for the glory of Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Let's continue in an attitude of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what we've heard this morning. And thank you that in what may seem like small ways of small people, you bring big things into the world. You bring freedom into the world. And you bring your message of hope into the world. That's a message that we need very much today. Heavenly Father, we pray for the world we live in. It's far too big for us to understand, and yet you can number the hairs on the head of every person. And there's so much conflict and war going on around the globe. The war in Ukraine is geographically and close to us and close to our hearts. We ask that you will protect those whose homes are systematically and purposefully being attacked, the homes of parents and children. Maternity hospitals and children have been attacked and killed. Lord, we can't comprehend the scale of it. Be with your church in Ukraine as it seeks to serve all people. And Holy Spirit, be close to all people who live in fear there and in any region. We pray for refugees who are spreading out across Europe. May they find a safe home. And we pray that the government in the UK would open its borders in a meaningful way, a genuine way. When people are being cast out, don't let us be the ones who keep the door shut. We pray that refugees will find safety in our parish, in our homes. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray for our own country. As elections are around the corner, we ask that there be an open and dignified discourse between parties. May the politicians in our nation put the love and well-being of people first. And may your will be done above the will of any particular party or faction. We pray for the ongoing situation with COVID. Numbers are still high. But keep the numbers in hospitals as low as they can be. And would you yourself be by every hospital bed? Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our parish. We ask that you be close to Bishop David and his family, and be close to Jonathan, our rector, and his family. And we ask that you bless the groups and organizations of our parish who meet in your name. As we meet to provide comfort, mercy, and friendship, and as we meet to worship and praise. And we pray for those groups who are face to face with those who are currently outside the church. May your love spread, and may your glory spread as we grow. We pray for those in our parish who are sick and those who are dying. We pray for those in hospital and for those in nursing homes and care homes. We pray for Faye Bellamy, who is mourning the loss of her brother. Be especially close to her and allow us to come close to her. We pray for the family of Harry Irwin as they are going through a time of sadness. We gather our prayers together with the words of that prayer our Lord Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
And as we think of that gift of faith, that is our gift that has been given to us, that's the theme of our next hymn that we're going to sing together. I will sing the wondrous story.
Thank you.
that we're joined by others who have joined us online this morning. And so in praying the blessing, I pray that in your home, if you're joining us online, that on this Mothering Sunday and in the week that lies ahead, you and we here in church will know God's peace, God's blessing, and God's joy in this world in which God has called us to be women and men of faith and women and men of courage. And so may the blessing of God Almighty, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with you and with those you love this day and always. Amen.
Thank you so much to everybody for joining with us in our service today. Thank you particularly to Bishop David. It's been really encouraging and lovely to have you with us. And we're going to remind ourselves in our closing hymn that in Christ there is no east or west.
But one.